Hey, this is Chris Brown. This episode is brought to you by Vanderblumen, the search group who helps churches and ministries build great teams through their innovative pastor search and church staffing process. Visit Vanderblumen.com for more information. That's Vander, BLOEMEN.com. Now, on to our show.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We are honored that you are tuning in, whether you're listening in on the radio, on the podcast, or on stewardship.com. Of course, you can always call in, regardless of the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Leave a voicemail if you need to. The number is 866-357-3283. Again, it's 866-357-3283. This is a broadcast brought to you by Ramsey Solutions. And if you want to stay connected with this show, our Twitter handle on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram is at Chris Brown on Air. Again, we're honored that you are tuning in. And today, what we want to do is we want to talk a little bit more about this subject of stewardship. You see the name of the show, and maybe you've heard the name of the show. You're a first-time listener, and you're like, true stewardship? What in the world is that? You think about stewardship, you think of a giving campaign, and you automatically grab your wallet, and you run for the door, and you're like, no, the church is building another building. No, that's not what it means. It's not recycling. It's not a giving campaign. It's not saving the rainforest. No, biblical stewardship is managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory. And so this episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship, this particular broadcast, what we're going to do is we're going to break that down a little bit more. What does that mean biblically? I know that we got the definition now, but let's break that down. What does that look like in everyday life? You know, recently, Dave Ramsey and I, we hosted a stewardship conference right here in Nashville, and it was just amazing. We had pastors from all over the country. They were attending here from all different denominations and all over the, you know, size spectrum and everything, all the different kinds of churches that you can think of. And we worshiped and we talked through all the different aspects of leading out in the stewardship space specifically. We talked through some best practices and talked through just how to lead better in this area of stewardship in each one of our churches. And the stewardship conference was a great example of making sure that church leaders, they feel supported, that they feel encouraged, that they feel equipped and empowered to model and to teach in this area. So model it the way they run the organization and also to teach in this area of stewardship, both on the platform and off the platform, in the classroom, in the meeting space, in the hallway. How do they address this word of stewardship? And there's a lot of power in us being unified and teaching it all in the same way, the way it's supposed to be taught biblically. You know, while I was there at the stewardship conference, I had a realization. I had realized that we weren't there to inform the pastors of a bunch of incredible new insight for their intellect. We were there to increase their level of responsibility. And really, their level of reverence. The reality is, because of a busy schedule and lots of things to focus in on, I know you guys can't relate to that, right? We're always busy, always got a lot going on in our schedule. What happens is we begin to lose reverence when it comes to stewardship. We begin to lose sight of exactly how amazing it is that the creator of the universe has chosen us. Yeah, chosen you right there, wherever you're listening, to steward those kids, to steward that spouse, that roommate, that education, that opportunity, to steward that health. Maybe it's a leadership position. Maybe it's an item, a car, a house, a forerunner, whatever it may be. The thing is we get used to it. We get too familiar. You know, for Christmas, I got my kids a puppy. And many of you know that who listen to this broadcast quite a bit. And it was our first pet ever as a family. My wife and I have been married for 16 years and never had a pet. My kids are 11, 10, and 7, never had a pet. And for me, it was my first pet I've ever had in my entire life. We got a little two-month-old golden doodle and just absolutely adorable. And I've got to be honest with you, and those of you who've been listening to the broadcast for a while, I've really lost my mind. We lost our minds because we were so in love with this puppy. I mean, it took over our lives. This is a big deal. And many of you heard my broadcast around Christmas time. Remember just how excited I was to surprise my kids with this little puppy. Well, I've noticed something. I've noticed that in the beginning, we were brushing him every day. We were taking him for a walk about every 4 minutes. We were petting him nonstop. But now, we're asking things like, hey, has anyone seen the dog today? can somebody take this dog with you? What happened? What in the world? Everything's changed. He's still an amazing dog, and he's as sweet as can be. And we still love our 7-month, 21-day-old, 52-pound Charlie. But what's happened? We've become too familiar. You know, many times in our faith, we are blessed so much that we become too familiar. Another example, when was the last time we thanked him for the breath in our lungs? The fact that we even woke up this morning. We think that's automatic, but the reality is for millions of people around this globe, there is nothing automatic about it. A stewardship must be approached with a spirit of reverence and respect. It is at its heart a matter of relationship. In other words, the way that we handle the resources entrusted to us speaks volumes about our respect for the one who has assigned them to our care. Have you ever thought about that way? The way we handle those resources is an exact reflection of how much we respect and how much reverence we have for God. Of course, we're talking all about this idea of stewardship, this calling of stewardship, and I'm honored to be your host, Chris Brown, right here on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Hey, when I was an executive pastor, I used Vander Blumen's search group to help me find church leaders to join our church. As the leading search firm for churches and faith-based organizations, Vander Blumen prayerfully comes alongside your team to guide you through the search process and bring you great candidates that fit your church's needs. And actually, they connected Dave Ramsey with me. Because of their ministry, I am able now to serve and use my passions to spread the message of stewardship to the local church. Visit VanderBlumen.com for more information. That's Vander, BLOEMEN.com. Folks, you are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. And I'm your host, Chris Brown. And today, we are breaking down this idea, this truth of stewardship. Now, here are some things that we have to hourly, not monthly, not weekly, not even daily, but hourly, we've got to realize not only with our head, but more importantly, with our heart. Number one, God owns everything. If this is not real to you during this season of your journey, I encourage you to dive into a few of these passages and meditate on them. Look into Psalm 50. Look into Psalm 24. Look into Deuteronomy 10:14, Haggai 2:8, Colossians 1:16. Ask God, pray that God gives you a fresh perspective in regards to his ownership. I know for many of you, this may seem pretty basic. And that exactly is the problem. Right there lies the problem. This is not a head thing, but a heart thing. The issue is we are way too intellectually familiar and not internally fascinated. We're way too intellectually familiar and not enough eternally fascinated. If he's the owner, it naturally makes us not the owner. It makes us the manager. We are the steward. 1 Corinthians 4:2 tells us that he has trusted us enough to manage his stuff. Seriously? The Creator. He trusts us that much. How incredible is that? When we are praying, it is so powerful. to ask God, what are you the steward of? Ask him, hey, God, what am I the steward of? And then stay silent. He will make it very clear. And one thing I've experienced is that names come to mind, not just kids and spouse and generalities, but I'm talking names. When I've done this, I've sat down, I've asked God, what am I the steward of? He goes, Max, Jack. Not audibly, but in my spirit, he says, Max, he brings my kids' names to me, those relationships, those situations, and really puts a face with them. And when I realize that my little boy, Max, that I'm a steward of his life, it changes everything. Stewardship changes everything. Even when it comes to resources, even transactions. It's not he's entrusted money into my care. When I pray like this and I ask, what am I a steward of? He brings transactions to my memory. Transactions that don't glorify him. God will not just put resources on my mind, but actually transactions. It's convicting, of course, but that is where the growth happens, with that conviction. We should welcome it. And we should be encouraged, because that conviction is proof of our real relationship with the Father. You know, when I think about this topic, I think of me buying the kids bikes and then seeing them throw those bikes around. I don't know if you've ever been there as a parent, those of you who are parents. You buy this great bike for them and it's so great. Next thing you know, they are chucking that thing around all over the place. And when I think about how that makes me feel as the owner who entrusted them with that, it reminds me not to handle things that my Father entrusted me with that same carelessness. Now, another thing that we need to realize hourly, when we take the responsibility seriously, God provides for our every need. We got to realize that. When we do this well, he provides. Let me repeat that. When we need to take the responsibility seriously, when we feel that need, when we realize that need, God provides for our every need. Now, that may make some of you feel really uncomfortable. Your finite logic, it may not allow you to go that deep in your faith, but we have to realize that nothing delights the heart of our master as a steward who acts responsibly. A faithfulness to the master's best interest is the single most important requirement of a steward. As with every steward, faithfulness has its rewards. God promises that those who are faithful in their stewardship over his creation will have every need met and every godly desire satisfied. That makes you feel uncomfortable. I know it does. Matthew 6:33, Psalm 37:25, Philippians 4:19. Check them out. Those are promises straight from your Father. And he is a personal God. He's not some cosmic killjoy out in the corner of the universe. He's your personal God, and he's also the Almighty God. So claim those verses for yourself, Matthew 6:33, Psalm 37:25, and Philippians 4:19. Now, that's not enough incentive for us to be these great stewards for God. And of course, we're not striving after perfection, but progress. We want to give God glory. We need to realize we will each give an account for our stewardship. And those of you who are listening in and you're a little bit younger, maybe you've never thought of it that way. But yeah, there's going to be a day where we give an account for our stewardship. The basis of which our stewardship will be judged will be this question. You ready for it? How have you used what has been entrusted to your care? How have you used what has been entrusted to your care? The Bible says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he has done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. We see this in 2 Corinthians 5:10, 2 Corinthians 8:12, 1 Corinthians 4:2, Luke 12:48, just to name a couple. Now, the tail end of that verse, whether it be good or whether it be bad, what in the world does that mean? What does good mean? What does bad mean? What is that? The way we manage things, the way we manage relationships, it's not black and white. So what's good? What's bad? Well, a few things to consider. Our first goal is to glorify God. This is why our definition of stewardship contains the why behind everything we do. Glorifying the Lord means quite literally to honor and exalt him. True stewardship is managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory. We do this by overseeing what he has entrusted to our care with his best interest in mind, not ours, his best interest in mind. The Bible says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Well, folks, I know vacations are approaching, and I hope you've scheduled some downtime to relax as we're thinking through how to glorify God with our recreation and how to kind of replenish our human resource, our ability to think and our be able to feel and our ability to have some energy. So you got to relax and wine, maybe even dream a little bit. What do you want to accomplish this summer? And how do you want to better yourself? How do you want to better serve your family? Well, we want to get in on helping you with that. We want to get you started answering some of those questions with our very own summer reading list. If you go to stewardship.com, you'll find our recommended reading this summer. Books like Retire Inspired, Total Money Makeover, and Entree Leadership. And don't forget, when you pre-order Rachel Cruz's new book, Love Your Life, Not Theirs, you immediately receive her ebook, Smart Money, Smart Kids. Kind of a two-for-one there. Pretty cool. Again, you can find all that out at stewardship.com.
We appreciate you joining us today on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now back to Chris Brown. Chris?
Of course, we're talking all about breaking down this idea of stewardship, this truth of stewardship. We talked about the why a minute ago, and now I want to break down the how. What about how? God doesn't ask us to assume a responsibility without providing the way to succeed. You can't expect what you don't equip, right? The following six characteristics are biblical, they're proven, and they're effective in times of financial crisis as well as extreme wealth. Wherever you're at in your stewardship journey, you want to make sure you have these characteristics. First and foremost, you've got to have a steward's posture. You got to have a steward's posture. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:4, by humility and the fear of the Lord, that's that reverence I'm talking about, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. That's the posture we should have in this life, a reverence and a humility. You've also got to have a steward's devotion. The Bible says in James 5:16, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We've got to be devoted to him. And our lifestyle, our prayer life, our devotion life all points that direction. We also got to have a steward's diligence. The Bible says the labor of the righteous tends to life. And we see this concept of diligence throughout the entire scriptures, and of course, quite a bit in the book of Proverbs and the book of Psalm. We got a steward's generosity that we got to think through. Of course, generosity is a theme throughout the entire Bible, starting with what God did. He sent his one and only son for us. Give, and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure with which you measure it shall be measured to you again. We see this whole idea of being a generous person throughout the entire scriptures. You also got the characteristic of a steward's discipline. The Bible says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. You see that in Proverbs 15:16. You also see something like that in Philippians 4:11-12. And then, of course, we know in 1 Timothy 6:6 talks all about contentment. And it's kind of this idea of saying no to what you want now so you can have what you really want later. And that's the whole definition of discipline. There's also the steward's discernment. In Exodus 12, we read how the Egyptians complied with the Israelites' request for silver and gold and other precious substances. Later, these very substances were used in the construction of the tabernacle in the wilderness. Like the Israelites, a good steward realizes that when we are wise as serpents and harmless as doves, the Lord will work on our behalf to make his resources available to us. They'll come to us as we properly, as we honestly, as we responsibly tap into resources for which the world has other plans. It's a discernment that we've got to have. Now, you may hear all of that, and you may be feeling some guilt. You may be feeling a little bit of condemnation because maybe you haven't done that well in the past. That guilt, that condemnation is not from God. He's a good, good father. He's a loving God. He may be convicting you with love, but he's not making you feel guilty. There's a huge difference. Here's the way you need to handle that feeling of conviction, if you've got that right now. First, you just need to admit it. I have blown it in some of these areas, and I'm sorry. It starts with your attitude towards that action or that thought pattern. But then it's followed up with the right actions. We confess to God. We confess to other people if they're involved. And we stop that behavior that doesn't line up with biblical stewardship. And when we are in the midst of this transformation in our lives, we have to remember the nature of God. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from our unrighteousness. When we remember that, well, it enables us to enjoy the whole restoration process with God. Another thing that should occur as we seek to become better stewards is tithing. Tithing and giving, it must become a way of life. It's through tithing and giving that we literally invite God into our financial situation. And by not inviting him in this way, we're literally saying we don't really believe we have been entrusted. It's worth remembering that tithing results in both blessing and protection. And giving above and beyond your tithe, what it does is it catapults us into an entirely different level of God's economy. Promises abound regarding what God has in store for us, for those who give generously. We see that in Luke 6:38, for example. And it's true that you can't outgive the Lord. If you've heard that before, that is truth. So as you begin to tithe and experience more and more generosity, there will be some bouts of discouragement. I can promise you that. As you deal with creditors and you look to get back in a good financial position, remember, restoration requires patience. It's not going to happen overnight. There's a reason why there's a bunch of junkyards, okay? It's not easy to restore things. It takes time. So they sit there until they've been restored, or you know what? Somebody doesn't want to restore it, they get rid of it. If it were easy to restore a car, there would not be these big, huge parcels of land with cars that need to be restored. It takes time. And it takes many good decisions when it comes to our financial restoration. You can fall into debt, but not fall out of debt. Proverbs 21:5 says, "The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty." So have hope. There is hope, people. God has a way out of the discouragement that's caused by unwise stewardship. Every Christ follower should make an intensive effort to be free from anything that holds us back from usefulness, anything that's going to destroy effectiveness, anything that's going to rob us of joy. Good stewardship is a practice that God will give you the grace to engage in if you will follow his plan, not our plan, his plan to rebuild what is currently broken. And the hope that I'm talking about is not just in the fact that many people have been very successful restoring their finances, because they have, but also in the fact that the pursuit of being a biblical steward has so many rewards. The Lord blesses obedience. You know this in your life, right? He blesses obedience. Obedience is evidence of our faith and his lordship in our lives. When we obey, it's proof that he's actually leading us. Did you know that the steward is more effective in his or her work? Did you even know that? That's one of the rewards. Proverbs 10:22 tells us that the blessing of the Lord, it makes one rich and adds no sorrow to it. When we work as under the Lord, God makes our work count. God promises that a life of faithful obedience will be blessed. In Malachi 3:10 and 11, God promised those who faithfully bring their tithes to the storehouse will have the windows of heaven open to them and a blessing poured out until there is no more need. That's awesome. And additionally, he promises to rebuke the devourer, or the very things that eat up the resources that he's entrusted to them. And Jesus in Luke 6:38 says that those who give in an unselfish manner will not end up with less, but more. They will receive in return a blessing poured out with good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. This is simply another illustration of the remarkable abundance that God makes available to those who practice wise and faithful stewardship. Folks, you can do this. Hear from us at Ramsey Solutions. Hear from my mouth right now over the airwaves. You can do this. If you're doing great already, I applaud that. More importantly, God applauds that. If you're struggling right now, maybe you've made some unwise decisions, I want you to know that there is hope. Folks, don't forget to head over to stewardship.com. Check out our recommended reads this summer. You'll find our very own summer reading list with books from Chris Hogan, Rachel Cruz, and Dave Ramsey right there at stewardship.com. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now at the end of this broadcast, and we pray that you would give us strength. Wherever we're at in our stewardship journey, we pray, God, that we would not act on our own strength, but on your strength, that we would decrease and that you would increase. God, I pray that everyone listening in would know that there's hope, not because of this broadcast, but because of you, because of your ultimate sacrifice. God, we love you. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.